Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. This is my first episode of 2026. It's currently the 18th of January, and I am over in Marohablay in Fort Ventura. So I'm working my love holidays. I have to film some content, put a video together, and then upload it in a couple of days. So while I'm over here, I'm here solo. So they did give me the opportunity to bring somebody, but I actually wanted to experience my first solo holiday. So I only booked 4 days just to see how I'd get on, because I think a week might be too long for my first holiday. They gave me a number of options, and I chose the Canaries for some winter sun. They did offer me Egypt, Morocco, Turkey, Tunisia, but to be honest, they are quite long flights, and I've never been there before, and it's probably not somewhere I'd feel safe as a woman by myself. Whereas I've been to the Canaries loads of times, and I'm familiar with it, and I know that there's going to be nice weather and stuff. But I've never been to this place before, so I've been just filling my days with going to the gym in the mornings. It's Sunday today, so the gym wasn't open, but it's a 20-minute walk from where I'm staying, so I'm getting my steps in walking up and my steps in walking back. I don't go to the gym because I have to when I'm on holidays. I go because I want to. It's part of my lifestyle, and because I'm by myself, I am looking for some time to kill as well. So, weather-wise, it's been fine. It's January, so there has been kind of some showers, but they don't last long, and it's a bit windy, so it does make it a little bit cooler. But when the sun comes out, it is lovely. It's right by the beach. A lot of Germans and Spanish here, so it is hard to kind of like talk to people. I am going to jump into what this podcast is going to be about anyway, but I'm just kind of I know a lot of people who follow me on Instagram, seeing that I was going on my first solo trip. And they were kind of seeing how I was getting on and stuff. And, you know, people who have been considering it, I've always wanted to do it. So this was a great opportunity to try it. So a couple of things I have, I suppose, learned since I've been here. This is day three now. Like, the first day was weird because I've traveled by myself to plenty of places by myself and, you know, met up with people there. You know, they could have got a different flight time, or they came over a couple of days earlier. But this is my first time being here by myself. So when I landed, I was a bit anxious because for the first few hours, it kind of hits you like there's no one here to lean on. There's no crutch. Like, you're not having conversations with people. What will we do for the rest of the day? Let's go check out this. Let's do that. What will we do for lunch? What will we do for dinner? You having your shower first or belay, etc. Chilling on the balcony even with a drink before you head out. I am doing dry January as well, so I haven't even had a glass of wine or anything over here. So yeah, the first few hours were a bit weird. Then I found my feet, and I kind of just had the attitude like, okay, Anya, imagine you live over here. Like, what would you do during the day? How would you fill your time? So I obviously have my laptop with me. I didn't bring a mic, so I'm using my MacBook mic. So if the sound does sound weird compared to other podcasts, that's probably why. The mic is very good on this laptop though. I brought over obviously my phone, the laptop, another camera. And yeah, because I'm going to be recording content while I'm here. But what I've been doing is I've been like, you know, every evening when I go to bed around, well, not go to sleep now, but I come back to the room around 8 or 9. But I make a little itinerary. So even if it's something like, now there's not like museums over here or like, you know, a hop on, hop off bus or, you know, kind of touristy things. Like, it's just like a seaside town with restaurants along the beach. Like, it wouldn't be like Lanzarote where like there's loads of nightlife, loads of food, etc. It is quite secluded. Again, lots of Germans and Spanish. But when I go to bed at night, I make a to-do list tomorrow, and it's like, okay, get up for breakfast, then go for a walk for a coffee afterwards, read your Kindle, come back to the room, maybe do a bit of work on the laptop for about an hour, respond to emails. I am still in work mode because again, I'm looking to kill time, go to the gym, come back, have a shower, go down to the pool, read your Kindle for another hour, come back up to the room, go for lunch, and then go for another walk along the beach, watch the sunset, come back to the room and put on something nice for the evening, and then going out for a meal by myself. That is kind of weird. I went for food last night. I was by myself. It feels uncomfortable because you're not used to it. And a lot of people think, oh, you know, I'm afraid people are going to think I was stood up or I'm a weirdo. Like the amount of people who solo travel, obviously this probably isn't the best destination for solo travel in terms of mixing. Like if you go to Thailand or somewhere else that's like a touristy hotspot, you're going to get loads of hostels. You're going to get people who are actively looking to mix with other people, you know, whereas this kind of isn't it. So this is kind of just like literally downtime, chill time. I'm not looking to go out and go on the piss. And that's another reason why I didn't bring someone with me, because I know that if I brought someone else with me, they would want to fill. And look, I've been on plenty of holidays like that where you fill up gaps when you're bored with sitting at a pub or sitting at a seaside pub, or to watch a football match or something. And then at night, like you're drinking as well. So it's been nice to wake up not hungover, and it's just nice to have a meal and then go home, scroll on TikTok, have the telly on in the background so it feels like you have company. And yeah, just do your to-do list. There's a bath in this hotel room as well, so I'm scheduling that into one of my daily itineraries. The gym is closed today. It's a Sunday, so I'll go tomorrow instead. And then making content for my comedy page too, and then content for my gym page. Yeah, it's great. It's a bit of downtime, but yeah, that's why I didn't bring some with me. But again, going for food, it's uncomfortable, and the way I look at it is no one gives a fuck. Like no one's looking at you thinking, oh, poor whore. Like that's you thinking that, and that's you putting thoughts in other people's heads. And I got talking to a Spanish waiter last night. She was a lovely girl, and she had really, really good English, and we were talking about the cats because there's a lot of cats over here. I have a cat at home, and she was like, oh, come back Monday night, we have music on. So I'm gonna go there Monday evening, which is my last night. I got home Tuesday. But yeah, it's been fine. And again, this podcast was on my itinerary as well. I've been quite busy, so I thought now would be the ideal time to record it since I have time. I know I have been MIA for a few months. Sometimes I feel like, have I covered everything? And there's a lot of things that I have covered, and I suppose it's coming at it from different angles as well. But to jump into what this podcast is about. So a lot of people will be starting their calorie deficit in January, as are probably a few weeks in. I haven't done a calorie deficit since the end of May. So when I came back from Australia and Thailand, I had put on like 6 kg since the deficit, like last Christmas. So I lost that in 10 weeks, 10, 12 weeks. So yeah, I finished that deficit at the start of September, and then I basically just maintained my weight then from September up until Christmas. And then so that was around 60, 61 kg. So started my deficit the start of January, and the scale obviously has been up and down. I always talk about fluctuations. So it was the end of the second week when I came on this holiday. So what's my food been like over here? So I've been having like a bowl of cereal. I bought protein yogurts in the supermarket. And you know, I've been having them in between meals, and then like some fruit in between meals as well, with a protein yogurt, a protein bar, etc., or a protein shake, and that I buy in the shop. And then this is all inclusive. So for dinner, I have something with like fish and veg, and then for lunch, chicken and something else as well. And then if I do go to a restaurant that night, like I'll just have what I want, but I won't go OTT with it, you know. I can't track when I'm over here. It's impossible to do that. So I'm just being mindful pretty much. And obviously I'm not drinking alcohol, so that's going to save a lot of calories too. And I've been walking the legs out myself. Like I said, the gym is a 20-minute walk, which is up where all the restaurants are too. And then it's a 20-minute walk back. So if I do that twice a day, like that's nearly 8 to 10,000 steps among walking around other places too. So, you know, I've been getting around 40 and 16,000 steps, which is ideal. I've been to the gym once since I've been over here. And again, even if I wasn't in a calorie deficit, I would still be gone. And it's actually a really, really well-equipped gym and has cardio machines. I got some cardio in. So yeah, that's how food has been over here. So obviously I can't weigh myself, but when I get home with the traveling, with like, you know, eating out in the evenings, the scale will spike, and that's okay. But you know, you're gonna hold on to a lot of water because of the salt and the food, eating more carbs than usual, and then traveling makes you retain water, like you know, traveling by air. More water floods into the cells in your body when you travel. It's a hormone, and that's what causes you to retain water. Like I've often, you know, landed off after a holiday and weighed myself the next morning, and I've been 10 pounds up. That's 5 kg nearly. And you know, you nearly have a heart attack, but after a few days, then it just goes down. And how do you get rid of that? Well, You just get back to your normal routine. And drinking more water might seem counterproductive, but it's not. You know why? Because it's you're going to be going to the toilet a lot more. So you're flushing all of that shit out of you that your body is holding on to through urination. And then if you are doing cardio or you're sweating through the heat, water is going to hydrate you, but you're also sweating out the toxins as well, because you know that can only exit your body two ways, through excretion, which is urination or sweating. Okay, so just getting back to your normal routine when you're home is fine. There's no need to punish yourself. There's no need to, you know, be doing excessive cardio. Just have patience. If you weigh yourself daily, you will notice the scale dwindling down after a few days. It can take about a week to return to normal. But in my calorie deficit since I started in January, you know, a lot of people do be buzzing with motivation for the first couple of weeks, and then it starts to dwindle, because there's two reasons for that. Okay, if you've done multiple calorie deficits before, I suppose it doesn't hit you as much, like that kind of wall of, oh shit, like this is going to be long term, like I don't know whether I can maintain this. Everyone will experience that, you know, even if you're a seasoned pro when it comes to calorie deficits. But you will get used to it. The more time you do cut the amount of times you do calorie deficits over the years, like the more you just kind of take to it like a duck to water. Whereas opposed to if you're only starting one after maybe a year of not going to the gym, a year of not tracking your food, it is going to feel tough, and you're going to want to see results as quickly as possible, and you're going to be taking drastic approaches, unsustainable approaches. It never works long term. Okay, slow and steady wins the race. I've been telling all my clients on my 8-week challenge. I'm taking on one-to-one clients now at the end of the month when I get back, because of this reason. Because people go from 0 to 100 in the first week or two of January, they realize they're getting overwhelmed, it's not sustainable, and they end up giving up. Okay, and then they decide to themselves, okay, maybe I need a coach for proper guidance because my way ain't working. All right, so like I said, slow and steady wins the race. So even myself, I was a bit out of routine for the last 2 weeks at Christmas, maybe even 3 weeks. A lot of us were. I wasn't going to the gym as much because, you know, I had a lot on, and you know, I was probably. My food wasn't too bad, to be honest. Obviously, bar Christmas Day, you know, I kind of just ate what I wanted. But yeah, I was just so busy. I didn't do as much cardio as I anticipated. My steps, you know, they were kind of 5K, 5,000 to 6,000, because I don't think I've done a podcast episode on this, but I was injured from the marathon. My hip flexor was injured. In my right leg going into the marathon, and I still done it anyway. And then my left hip flexor ended up getting it injured because my physio said your left leg was compensating for your right leg during that marathon. So that's how it ended up getting injured, because it took on too much because your right leg wasn't able to. So that's how that happened. But what I noticed was when I was walking for, especially in the early days of the injury, I couldn't walk for more than like 15 minutes without getting a pain in my hip, you know, the muscular area around my hip. And I was sore, it was uncomfortable, like, and you know, even afterwards, you would feel like a radiating pain around your hip area. So I had to actually stop walking for a couple of weeks just to let it heal. And now, thankfully, like I said, I've been doing like 14,000 to 16,000 steps while I've been over here, and there's no pain, which is good. So I will gradually get back to running. But however, I was still walking around 5,000, 6,000 steps at Christmas time, going to the gym maybe 3 times a week, doing full bodies instead of going 5 times, and just doing like cardio once or twice a week. Okay, so I even felt out of routine at the start of January, and the biggest mistake I could have made was doing 5 gym sessions, 5 cardio sessions, going straight into a calorie deficit and going straight up to 10K steps from day one. Okay, that's just going to be so overwhelming. And it's just trying to be perfect too soon, too quick. And you're never going to be perfect. Okay, so what I've been saying to clients is try conquer one or two things a week at a time. And then by the end of January, you will have conquered everything then, and everything will start to feel like a routine. If you take on too much too soon, the first week of January, you're going to feel overwhelmed. So, for example, I've been saying to clients, like, okay, you haven't been walking that much. So, let's try move our steps from 3,000 up to maybe 5,000 to 6,000. And then, you know, add on 1,000 or 2,000 each week until eventually you're up at 10K by the end of the month. And then, when it comes to a calorie deficit, I know you want results as quickly as possible and you want the scale to drop as quickly as possible. But again, taking drastic approaches and trying to be perfect too quickly is not sustainable, okay? And it's just going to be counterproductive. So instead of going into a 500 calorie deficit, why not maintain for the first week of January? Now, I know the first week of January is in the past, but let's imagine now you're going to start in February. for the first week of January or February, just go to maintenance calories, okay? You can use a TDE calculator online to find out what your maintenance calories is. And track your food for 1 week at maintenance. So you're not putting any pressure on yourself to see a low number. Get into the routine of tracking food. Just get used to that without the pressure of trying to drop body fat. And you know, while you're tracking your food, you'll obviously be learning as you go, and you'll start to see like what meals you enjoy and what you have to eat to hit your protein goal, etc. And then in week two, you can be like, okay, so I'm familiar now with tracking my food. My steps have been pretty shit over the Christmas. I was only doing 3,000 to 4,000. So I'll up it now to maybe 5,000 or 6,000. And then again, gradually as the weeks go on, add 1,000 to 2,000. Okay, I was going to the gym like 3 times before Christmas, but now it feels like, you know, I can't pull my arse up off the chair. And I felt like that in the first week of January. Like I was doing home workouts for the first week of January because I just couldn't face the gym yet. But it was better than nothing. And I would make deals with myself. Okay, and yet you're going to do a home workout today on a Tuesday, say, but on Thursday you're going to the gym, and that's it. Even if you just go for half an hour, but I ended up going for an hour. Okay, little things like that, wean yourself in. If you've gone from 0 gym sessions for like the month of December, you're not going to jump straight into 5 gym sessions in the month of January or the month of February. Okay, it's going to be tough, it's going to be hard, you're going to be trying to talk yourself out because your brain craves safety, it craves familiarity. All right, so maybe just attempt 1 gym session. And again, you're going to be craving quick results and you're going to want to try those 5 sessions, but it's not going to work. Okay, so just promise yourself you're going to go once or twice. And then by the end of January or by the end of February, you will have worked yourself up to whatever, how many ever sessions you can commit to. I'm not saying you have to do 5. It's what has to suit your lifestyle. Okay. So if you can only commit to 3, then do 3, 4, 5, whatever suits your lifestyle. And you know, it's just about building routine and building a good system around your lifestyle. Don't be copying off your friend Mary and what she's doing, because she might be kid free, has a part-time job, and she has all the time in the world to do what she likes. And then, you know, if you've been kind of eating what you want over Christmas, like, don't just do that all or nothing approach where you start cutting out everything. Oh, I'm being good, diet starts Monday, I'm going to be flat to the mat, I'm just not eating any chocolate, no takeaways. Like, if you are drinking 3 nights a week over the Christmas, okay, maybe cut it down to 1 night and stick to maybe lower calorie beers or ciders, or, you know, calorie free mixers with spirits. So some of you have been doing dry January, I'm doing dry January, going to save a lot of calories in that sense. If you're eating out 2 to 3 times over the Christmas, maybe when you go out, share a pizza, or if you are ordering takeaways over the Christmas, maybe share a takeaway now instead of just having one to yourself, because the portions are quite big in a lot of curry shops. You can definitely share a portion. Don't deprive yourself, okay? I have chocolate every day. I have something I enjoy every day. Like, I walk to my local coffee shop probably 3 or 4 days a week. Now, I know people are like, Jesus, coffees are quite expensive. Like, that must be costing you a lot every day. Well, I'd say, like, you know, 4 out of 7 days, I would walk to my local coffee shop. It's 3,500 steps up and 3,500 steps back. Having something like that where you feel like you're getting a reward halfway through something does help you psychologically, because you have something to look forward to. So you don't feel like you're walking around aimlessly. And that can be a deterrent when you were sitting on your hall on the couch and it's like, okay, I just have to do like 3 laps at a park. I have to walk around aimlessly. Make it interesting. Get a coffee halfway through. If you love your coffees, like, use that as a reward, okay? Use it as an incentive instead of just driving to the garage and getting a coffee, or driving to your local coffee shop. Go to walk with a friend, okay? Or if you've been meaning to listen to a podcast, okay, I'm going to catch up on that podcast, maybe this one. I'm going to catch up on that podcast on my lap around the park. And, you know, it could be 4,000 steps to lap your, the lap of your park, the lap of your local park. Mine is. So I do 2 laps, that's 8,000 steps. But maybe I don't have time to do that. So I'll do 4,000 in the morning and then 4,000 in the evening. And as the summer months start creeping in and the evenings get a bit longer, you will find it that bit easier. Everyone found it tough with the winter months, okay? But use an incentive. Make your walks interesting so it doesn't feel like you're walking, you know, around aimlessly. Because I don't like that either, okay? If I have to get something in a shop, I'll go to the shop furthest away from me and I'll use that as an excuse to get my steps in. And then when it comes to cardio, everyone hates cardio, okay? Which is why you shouldn't be jumping into an hour of cardio. I always say match your cardio to your gym sessions. So if you go to the gym 3 times a week, try to do 3 cardio sessions, okay? And don't start off with an hour 3 times a week. That's so overwhelming. If you fucking hate cardio to begin with, imagine Your first cardio session is an hour. You will be cracking up. You'll be crawling the walls. You're going to be in a straitjacket by the end of the week. So what I've been saying to my clients is, okay, do your gym session and then hop on the bike, the cross trainer, the Stairmaster for maybe 10 to 15 minutes, okay? And do that 3 times that week. That's 45 minutes of cardio you're doing at the end of the week. That's 450 calories you're after burning at the end of the week, okay? And as the weeks go on, maybe add 5 minutes to each session. Now, this is only if it suits your lifestyle and it suits your schedule. I have some clients that don't go to the gym. They do home workouts and that's fine. Cardio is not a necessity, okay? It's not mandatory. It's optional. It's a tool that helps burn more calories, all right? So if you do go to the gym and you have access to a cardio machine, it is a bonus because you can burn more calories. And then if you train from home, you could go on a run. And if you have a bike at home, that's also cardio, okay? So there's multiple ways you can do it at home as well. I don't deem walking as a form of cardio if you're just doing a leisurely pace, okay? If you walk really fast, like power walk, and you're swinging your arms, yeah, like that's going to elevate your heart rate, and that probably would be a form of cardio, especially if you're only starting out and you're not that fit. It would probably be a stepping stone before you start jumping into cardio, okay? So yeah, 10 to 15 minutes to start off with, and then by the end of the month you could work your way up to 20 to 25 minutes, all right? And whatever time you allocate yourself, you know, that could be dependent on your time in work, the time that you have to get home with the kids and take care of them and bring them to like after school activities or football training, etc. You might be like, Enya, 20 minutes is all I can manage after a 45 minute workout on weights. Okay, well then just do 20 minutes. That's fine. Okay, 20 minutes 3 times a week. You don't have to do more, but if you have the opportunity to do more, then that's great. But the only time you should be doing an hour cardio is if it's, you build a momentum, okay? So if I was doing a 12-week deficit, which I am, I finish up mid-April and then I'm off to Australia and the Philippines for 3 weeks for work, and then the Philippines is a holiday. So I hope to lean down. I'm going to get into why, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, you don't need to lose weight. I'm going to get into that now shortly. But say you're doing a 12-week deficit. If you start off in the first week doing an hour cardio 3 times a week and you add on 5 minutes to that every week, I mean, you're going to be doing 2 hours or more each cardio session by the end of fucking April or the end of May, or not May, sorry, March, mid-April. That's not sustainable, okay? That is not sustainable at all. Like, I think anywhere between a half hour to 45 minutes is plenty, okay? By the end, like, build the momentum, add on 5 minutes as the weeks go on and cap it at maybe 45 minutes per gym session if you have the time, okay? You don't need to be doing more than that. Unless you're, you know, training for something in particular, or, you know, you have a lot to lose in a small window, like you probably have to ramp up the cardio then. But I would only recommend that under the guidance of a coach. Don't be going off doing your own cardio and, you know, doing random bursts of an hour today, 20 minutes tomorrow, an hour and a half, then 3 days later. There's no system to that. It's just random bouts of cardio. There's no progression. There's no routine. It's just all over the place, okay? So stick to a time and then gradually add 5 minutes every week or every second week, okay? So that's my tip on steps, food, tracking, and cardio. And then lastly, when it comes to the gym and training, okay, ask yourself, where do you want to develop, all right? If you're doing this by yourself, which if you are and you feel confident that you can manage this by yourself, fair play to you. But again, I am taking on clients at the end of January and I am in the middle of an 8-week challenge as well. So my clients were given their own training program. But if you are making your own training program, decide the goal. If you are a complete beginner and you want to go to the gym 3 times a week, maybe do 3 full body sessions or 2 full body sessions and then 1 lower. Okay, so that would be legs, because as females, we do present, our biggest feature probably would be legs. We do have very strong legs as opposed to men who, like, you know, they see their upper body as a priority, but it doesn't mean they should neglect their legs, and it doesn't mean that you should neglect your upper body. So if I was to give someone, say, a 3-day plan, I would probably give them, if they were a beginner, I'd probably give them a push day, a pull day, and a lower day. So push would be like shoulders, triceps, chest. Pull day would be back and biceps. And then lower would be hamstrings, quads, glutes. Okay, so it just means that they're focusing on a particular part of their body each day. And then if they were kind of an intermediate and they wanted to train 4 days, or they only wanted to train 3 days, I'd give them 2 full bodies. So they're hitting every muscle group 2x a week, and then legs on the tour day. And then if they wanted to do 4 sessions, I maybe do upper, lower, upper, lower. Okay, so they're hitting every body part 2x a week again. And then if they wanted to train 5 days, I'd probably do 3 leg days and 2 upper. Okay. So there's an example. So moving on to the next part of the podcast, which is, Enya, why are you in a calorie deficit? Like, you don't even need to lose weight. Like, I don't look at myself in the mirror and think, oh my God, like I look like a whale after Christmas. Like, I don't think that at all. But when you are a personal trainer, like, it is important that you look after your appearance, okay? Now I'm not talking about Botox or like plastic surgery. I'm just talking about you do need to maintain your weight, like, because you are a product. You're your own product. Like, you know, when you walk into a supermarket, you know, the best sellers are always at eyeline level, okay? So they're the ones that are purchased the most. So I want to be on eyeline level. Like, I want people to look at me and be like, you know, she's really passionate about what she does. Like, she practices what she preaches. She eats well. She exercises. But I also make time for socializing, having fun foods in moderation, and, you know, not taking life too seriously. But I managed to maintain my weight from September to Christmas. And people think, you know, losing weight is the hard part. It's not. Keeping it off is the hard part. Like, some people think, oh, I'm going to lose holiday. I'm going to lose weight for my holiday. I'm going to do an 8-week challenge and, you know, just go back to old habits afterwards. And that's one thing I'm trying to teach my clients is this is an 8-week challenge. Yeah. But I'm going to teach you how to keep the weight off you as well afterwards. So you're not going out into the big bold world and you haven't a clue what to do then once you lose the weight. Okay. So I've managed to maintain my weight. And while I was maintaining my weight, I was pushing harder in the gym. I was lifting heavier because I had that extra bit of energy. I had to choose the bike as a form of cardio because my injury in my hip, I wasn't able to do the Stairmaster anymore because you're doing that marching motion with your leg on the Stairmaster, which mimics running, okay? And that would just aggravate the injury. So I was doing the cross trainer or else the bike. I wasn't doing as much cardio as I would be doing when I was in a fat loss phase because we're not looking to burn more calories here. So I was still doing a bit of cardio. I was still doing 5 to 6,000 steps, and I was going to the gym 4 to 5 times a week. Again, pushing harder because I had that extra bit of food in me, that extra bit of energy. I was taking creatine as well, which gives you that extra bit of power in the gym. Doesn't make you feel bulky. A lot of people are terrified, women in particular, of taking creatine. I take it every day and I don't think I look like a man. Okay. There's men out there who are eating testosterone for breakfast and still struggle to look a bit bulky. Creatine is not testosterone. All right. Women even have a bit of testosterone in their body, but not as much as they do, not as much as men do. But it's not a form of testosterone. Creatine isn't, okay? We actually produce a smaller amount of creatine ourselves, and you get it from red meat too, but not near enough the amount that you would get from a supplement, okay? So you can get it from Body Force Nutrition supplement websites and stuff. I take the capsule versions because I just don't like the powdered version. It's like drinking a sulfadine when you put it into water, or yeah, you need to put it into something. You can put it into food and you probably wouldn't taste it, but I just like taking the capsules. So yeah, I got stronger in the gym. I built more muscle because I was eating more, okay? I was eating more protein, had more energy in the gym. I was doing more reps, lifting heavier, which was going to build more muscle tissue. Then when I go into a calorie deficit, I have a holiday coming up in 3 months and giving myself plenty of time for the lead up. I'm going to peel back maybe 4 to 5 kg and get to maybe 55, 56 kg, and I'm going to look so much leaner and so much more toned now. So the reason for me, the maintenance phases or a gaining phase, is to build more muscle. So when you go into your next deficit, you've peeled back the body fat and you have more muscle to show. Like, you look more toned, you look leaner. So I don't just maintain and then don't go into the gym and then just decide one day, oh, I need to lose weight. No, like, there's a purpose to it. There's a method to the madness. But that doesn't mean that, like, you know, you just maintain, lose weight for the rest of your life. Like, I could maintain now for the next 4 or 5 months if I wanted to, but I want to lose a little bit of weight. I want to, you know, be on the beach and look stronger, feel leaner, etc. It's nothing to do with, you know, body dysmorphia or anything like that, even though I spoke about that after my fitness photo shoot. I did have a lot of that. But it's just, yeah, you know, I'm gonna be showing a lot of skin. I'm on holiday currently. I didn't lose weight for this, but I'm gonna be away for like 10 days in the sun in the Philippines, and I'm gonna be in a bikini a lot. And I just wanna do it for personal reasons, just to feel good. And then, you know, once that holiday is over, I'll maintain as best I can over the summer periods. And you know, if I'm still the same weight, give or take an extra kg or so, by September, maybe I'll just be like, yeah, I'll just maintain now till Christmas, you know, and then maybe Christmas I might overdo it a bit, and then January I might drop another couple of kilo. But
it's great that I have the education behind it, so I don't just lose weight for a holiday and then when I come back, I just go off the rails with food. No, I just jump back into my normal routine. And that's what I'm trying to teach to my clients and my 8-week challengers. So yeah, that is why I am in a calorie deficit. And a lot of people are like, oh, you know, 61 seems quite light. Like, why would you be looking to lose more weight? And everyone, like, I could line up five people in front of me who would weigh 61 kg and they would all look totally different. Some could look overweight, okay? Because I obviously carry a lot of muscle now. Like, that could be an extra 3 or 4 kg. Like, I could technically be 57 kg, but carry 3 or 4 kg worth of muscle, you know? And then someone could be 61 kg, but it's all just body fat because they've never been to the gym before. And they could look maybe bigger than me, but we're the same weight. Some people are taller and could weigh 61 kg, but could look extremely thin. Everyone could look different. So it's, I just mean, like, it's not okay to comment on someone's weight and say, that's a very light weight. Why would you want to lose weight? Same way someone could be 70 kg but could look extremely fucking lean. And, you know, someone's like, oh, 71 kg, like, that's very heavy. But when you look at them, they look absolutely ripped. Okay. So just take note of that. If your friend wants to lose weight and they're like, oh, you know, I feel like I could just lose a bit of body fat around my arms, even though you can't target a particular part of your body, because if we could target where we wanted to lose it, we could pick where we wanted to store. Okay. Just if someone wants to do that and they're under the correct guidance of a coach and they're eating well, they're going to the gym, you know, let them do that. But, you know, if someone is, you know, in a dangerous position where they're starting to look malnourished, you know, they're weak, they're moody, they've no energy to do anything, like, that's probably a sign that someone is under-eating. And you know, it starts to get kind of dangerous in terms of, like, the psychological condition that they might be in, or their mentality at that particular time. But if someone's under the guidance of a coach, there's obviously they're in safe hands. Okay, I'm not saying every coach goes by the rule book, but you know, most of them out there are pretty ethical. Okay, so that is my plan for the next 3 months. I am taking on clients. I'm currently running an 8-week challenge. I may or may not be running one in April because I will be traveling, so it might just be a bit difficult. I haven't made up my mind on that yet. If you do plan to jump on the next one, but yeah, it's good to be back with the podcasts, and I will be back next week. If you have any recommendations, things you want me to cover, let me know, and I will add it to my list. But I've been thinking as well that I don't want to focus on just fat loss alone. Like, you know, I'd like to jump into some episodes where I talk about mindset, talk to other personal trainers and their experience with certain things and stuff. Yeah, so mindset is obviously a huge part of fat loss as well. Okay, so it's that the mind has to change for what the body does. So getting psychologists on, and then obviously stuff about career, you know, and the way that we think about things and, you know, that inner dialogue. And I read a book there recently, and what was it? Oh, I, you know, I actually forget the name of it. But I actually seen it on Davina McCall's Instagram. She recommended a good few books, and one of them was like Stop Craving Likes and Engagements on the Internet. I'll have to get the name of it. I can't think of it. Actually, where is my phone? Is it beside me? Hold on. My phone is beside me. I'm gonna open it. I actually downloaded it on my Kindle and I read it in a few days, which is weird for me because I have ADHD and it's rare that I finish a book. Let me just get the name of it now on my Kindle. Because I have the Kindle app. Stop Checking Your Likes by Susie Moore. Now, you think it's about social media, but it's not, okay? Like, it kind of touches on it in some chapters, but it's basically like how to just not give a fuck about what people think and just live your life. And it was really, really good. It kind of makes you think, like, yeah, why do I focus on what people think of me so much? You know, when you're looking for validation for other people, and it's like, no, live life on your terms, okay? Because that's what everybody else is doing as well. Well, most people, but it is very interesting. So, you know, I've been reading a lot of books and stuff like that. I'll do book reviews, etc., on those type of, like, self-help books. But yeah, just, I suppose, mental health kind of episodes and yeah, so I'm rambling now, but thank you for listening. I will be back next week with another episode, and I hope you are enjoying 2026 so far, and I'll have a full rundown then of my solo trip in next week's episode.